Good morning. I'll say that again. Good morning. Great to see you and great to be here. I have to say, and thank you for that prayer, Vicki. That's very honoring. I really appreciate that. I was reading back through my journal and that I had wrote something at the beginning of the year, and this is what I wrote. I trust you, Father, to open any doors of opportunity to bring Jesus to others this next year. Yeah? Sounds pretty good. Well, yesterday my phone rang. And where's Matt? I'm looking at you, Matt, because my phone rang and actually missed it, but because I had it on airplane mode because I was preparing for something this coming week. And I looked down and it was Pete Sims. So I rang him back because he's our pastor. And I said, hey, what's up? And he said, you know, you're scheduled to preach 2 weeks out. Any chance that message is ready? I went, oh, no, yeah, nope, not ready. Sorry, and so hung up. The Holy Spirit said, remember that thing you wrote in your diary? Remember that thing you wrote in your journal about any opportunity? You know what, Penny, don't wait to get a polished talk. I am enough. So I am standing up here. So this series is called Grow. My word, what better way to grow than say, Lord, you know, you've downloaded things to me. And the thing is, I don't have a PowerPoint or a keynote. So as Vicki encouraged you, there's some key things that I believe the Father's saying. And especially all you guys that are kind of in the dark over there, because there's not a lot of light. I would love for you to get your phone, and especially you teens, there's some key things that I believe the Father's given us for today. And here's a confirmation. I woke up early this morning. I slept like a baby last night. Thank you, Jesus. And I woke up, and the Lord said, turn to Psalm 62. And I went, okay. I looked at Psalm 62. That's not where we're going. And the title of that passage is the same title that he gave me for the talk. So I said, okay, Lord. So today we're talking about growing in unshakable faith. Okay, unshakable faith. And we know just from being here and just this morning, we know just through these songs, the enemy would love to steal our song. The enemy would love to rob us of our destiny. And we've got to be alert, have our spiritual eyes and ears open, our hearts steadfast on him, so we would not be taken out. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a part of the family of God, you've said yes to Jesus by what he did on the cross, the enemy would love to take you out. Okay? But here's the good news. Our God is greater. Amen? Our God is greater. And what he did on the cross paves the way for us to say yes to him. And I actually, let me pray. Papa, thank you for this incredible opportunity. And God, just lead me in the way. You said, whether you go to the right or the left, I'll guide you. This is the way, walk in it. So I surrender to you. And everything that I've written down, I just submit to you. And just show me the way, and I will walk in it. In your name, amen. Amen. So the first thing is, there's a question I felt like the Father wanted us to put out there, and here it is. What do you want God to accomplish through you in this life? Okay, going to ask you again. What do you want God to accomplish through you in this life? And in my office, says office, it's one of our son's bedrooms that's now turned into my office, as he's at university. There's a quote on the wall, and it says this: what we do in life echoes in eternity. Okay? What we do in life echoes in eternity. And at the beginning of the year, I wrote two words in my journal. I'm going fast. You're going to have to be with me. So I wrote two words at the beginning of the year in my journal. They were reflect and expect. Reflect and expect. And reflecting, I felt like at the beginning of the year, the Father said, I want you, girl, to rehearse my mercies. I want you to rehearse my faithfulness. So what that means is I started looking at all the things last year. And he said, here's where my hand was. So I saw when, I know my boys are here somewhere. I don't know where they are, but oh, they're over there. They're in the dark. They're way over there. Hey, guys. Sorry. But one of the things was I saw God provide an internship for one of our sons. I saw God provide a graduate placement, paid for graduate placement, by the way. I saw another one, son got a new job. A grandbaby came in. There were health scares that actually turned out okay. And God's faithfulness was there. But there was also, my eyes started veering to the thing that I said, well, God, these things are still hanging in the balance. I've said prayers over and over, and I feel like that persistent widow, and there's no answer. And in that place, he said, I'm faithful. That's where I want you to see my faithfulness. So remember that beautiful passage from Lamentations 3 that says, His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Okay, great is His faithfulness. So reflecting, so looking at what He has done, it's so easy for our eyes to go the other way of what He hasn't done. But take time to do that today if you haven't yet. And the next word after reflect was expect. And what he said, are you ready for what is next? Okay? Turn to your neighbor. I'm going to keep you involved here and say, are you ready for what is next? By the likes of it sounds like you are. Hallelujah. Now, I know that those are bold questions. You didn't come to church, you know, expecting someone to say, you know, Nikki, what do you expect God to accomplish in your lifetime? That's huge. However, if we don't think about our destination, where we're heading, where we're going to end up, the enemy can rob it from us. Okay, I'm going to say that to my youth. I'm passionate because I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 16. If you don't think about where you're heading, where you'll end up one day, the destination, the calling that he has over your lives, the enemy would love to rob it from you. And this is a great quote. Some of you might have heard of Michael Hyatt. He's one that it speaks on leadership forums. And here's a great quote. Your day is your week, is your month, is your year. Okay? Let's say that again. Your day is your week, is your month, is your year. And what we do today sets the trajectory of what he will do in our lifetime. Okay, I hope you're getting this because it's so, those little things, I've heard it echoed throughout the weeks. I think Yaz was talking last week about the power of choice and just that idea to maintain a teachable heart. So in those moments when I wake up and I'm ready to power through the day, I've got a test, I've got exams to prepare for. God, redesign the way I start my day. Let my heart connect to you. Whether it's a podcast, you're putting on worship while you're curling your hair, whatever it is, set the tone by connecting to him first. Okay, it's not ritual, it's not religion, but I tell you what, the Holy Spirit is with you, and it's not like dragging God through the day. He goes before you. Can I say that again? Your God goes before you. He is your rear guard. And he is with you. Amen? Okay, amen. And here's the key. Unless we are intentional, it doesn't happen. Okay? Unless we are intentional, it doesn't happen. I asked a question about your lifetime, and you're like, I can't think of that. That's too far away. I'm trying to make my kids go to bed at, you know, 7 o'clock. That's just way out there. But bit by bit, you break it down, your year, your month, your week, your day, today, right now. Lord, give me intentionality to pursue you, intentionality to know you. I don't want the enemy to rob me of one more day, okay? So here's what he wants us to know, our confidence in him. Our confidence in him. On Monday mornings, we've been going through the book of Hebrews. We're about in the third month, and it's been phenomenal. Hebrews is a power-packed chapter, and wherever Mark is, he led the morning prayer. And the first thing he started doing was declaring who Jesus was, that there is no name that is higher. There's no name that is greater, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And in Hebrews, the main theme of Hebrews is Jesus. And do you know your Jesus? Do you know him? And he's called us. Hebrews is, the name means crossing over. And here's what we've crossed over from, a lot of things, but here's the main thing. From doubt to bringing reality to our faith. Okay, from doubt to the reality of our faith. And if we look in Hebrews, if we want to know who God is, we look to Jesus. Okay, so turn to your neighbor, in case anyone's getting sleepy, and say, look to Jesus. Go ahead. Now, I'm getting ready to power pack some verses for you. What we've done in 3 months, I'm going to give you a little nutshell. It's kind of like an injection, you know, just to say, here's who Jesus is. So the first thing, if you want to write any references down, Hebrews 1:3 talks about Jesus being the glorious splendor, the radiance of God. And it describes him as a mirror image. And what that means to me, if the Bible says that Jesus is the mirror image of God, then if I want to know who God is, if I want to know his character, then I look at the life of Jesus. So that's the first thing. Another amazing truth, Hebrews 1:14. Raise your hand if there's somebody, hopefully everyone will raise your hand, if there's someone in your immediate family, an extended family, that you are still praying for salvation. Wow. Okay. Here's a verse to pray every day. Hebrews 1:14 says that angels are sent to be ministering spirits to those who will receive salvation. That gets me excited. First time I read that verse that I thought, Lord, I pray that you can send people in their office, on the street, around them that will introduce them to Christ. Okay, so that's one to pray. Now the whole idea, here's two key truths in Hebrews. Number one, Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than angels, than the law, Moses. And he's greater than religion, okay? He's greater than religion. What Jesus did, he fulfilled the law. The old covenant was gone away with. And the new covenant, he says, I've given you a way to know me through your mind, through your heart, by what he did on the cross. So, angels, ministering spirits are, sorry, so Jesus is greater. And the second thing, and here's where I want us to really focus, remain faithful, okay? Remain faithful. Raise your hand if you've ever studied Hebrews, real quick, okay? Good number of you. So if you look at it, Hebrews was actually written to those that were following Judaism that had actually taken on the gospel. Okay, so it was written to Jewish believers. But the problem, they started facing persecution, and they started giving back into those ways of religion. They started adding religious things to what he had freed them from. So Jesus is greater, and he's calling us to remain faithful. Real quick, Hebrews 2:1, it says, be engaged and attentive to the truth. be engaged and attentive to the truth. Turn to your neighbor, because here's what Hebrews says. Don't drift off course. Okay, say, don't drift off course. And that's why our choices, our routines, our intentionality is so crucial. Okay, how many of you have ever got lost trying to drive somewhere? Raise your hand. Everybody in here, okay? I don't know what we did before sat navs and GPS. You know, sometimes Gary and I, we play this game that we're like, let's don't use the phone. Let's use our common sense. I can tell you, any married couples, don't do that, okay? That's when arguments start. I told you so, and it just doesn't work. So, yeah, so be engaged. Be attentive to the truth. Don't drift off course. Quickly, Hebrews 2:14. Raise your hand, honestly. Have you ever had the fear of death come over you? Wow. Guess what? Here's good news. Because Jesus is greater and he is supreme, he says that I have annihilated the intimidating effects from the accuser. He has annihilated it. That means it's shattered. It's gone. We do not have to fear death when we know Jesus, because he is our life eternally. He has shattered the fear of death. That's good news to me. Next one, he said, Hebrews 3:12, he says, be careful of unbelief. So turn to your neighbor, be careful of unbelief. Come on, Cherie. Be careful of unbelief, Hebrews 3:12. Do you know why? It says, unbelief will lead you astray. It will make you unresponsive to God. Wow. Have you ever opened up the Word and said, I'm reading this, but I'm not connecting? Okay? If you have, put your hand on, not right now, but when you're reading, go, you put your hand on your heart and say, Father, what lie am I believing? Because there's not a connection. Is there someone I need to forgive? What do I need to release? Because your Word is alive. You are the living Word. You want me to connect with you. So be careful of unbelief. Quickly, Hebrews 4:14 says that Jesus is our compassionate high priest. He says that he empathizes with all of our weakness. That's freeing, because he knows our frailty. He knows what we struggle with. He knows that, man, I really thought we were going to do this right. And then he says, you know what? It's okay. Because in Hebrews 4:16, it says, when you come to the throne, he says, come boldly, come with confidence. And the word there is just that you're asking, knowing that it will be received. And he says, I receive you fully. I receive you with grace and mercy. Okay? Grace and mercy, no expectations, no limitations, but I love you as you are. There's other things, but in Hebrews, he's described as our king priest forever. Hebrews 7:19 says, the law never made anyone perfect, but in its place is a far better hope, which gives us confidence to experience intimacy with God. So what he did on the cross, being the high priest, that all the old sacrifices never have to happen again, because he was the ultimate sacrifice. When he got on that cross and said, I love them so much. Yeah, Father, forgive them. And into your hands I commit my spirit. When you study that passage, we talked about it, it will blow your mind. At the time, in that ninth hour, when he gave up his spirit, in the courts, in the holy place, the high priest Caiaphas was coming in his robes, in his garment, there to prepare a sacrifice. And do you know what happened? That veil was torn in two. That veil ripped. So there he was. Now, when you say veil, I'm not talking about a flimsy piece of material. We've studied this. It took like 300 men to carry it. It was 2 feet thick. It was heavy. It was representative that there's God and here's you. And so here it was at Passover, the Day of Atonement, that time when the high priest would come into the Holy of Holies and say, right, take care, you know, sacrifice for sins. Jesus paid it all. Can I say right now, if there is any guilt hanging over you for anything, that is not from your Father. If there's any rejection, that is not from your Father. And in pre-service prayer, Mark was saying that everything has to bow to the enemy. And I believe that he's going to release something today just to free our minds, free us from those things that are trying to hold us back. Everything will bow to Jesus. Yes. Yes. That was my husband. Thank you, honey. I'm not sure what I said. Of course, yes. That's that scripture. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. So absolutely, thank you for clarifying that. We do not bow to those things, but we bow to the power of Christ. I love you, baby. That's great. Now, here's where we're going to go. Turn quickly to Hebrews 10, and I'm going to read a passage over you, 19 to 23. How are you guys doing? You okay? You with me? That's a great place to hide if you're sleepy, because I can't see you at all, but yeah. So here's the section. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, and I believe it's up here. Thank you for AP typing it. Amazing. So it says, our confidence before God, and here's his word that I want us to land on. And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us to come right into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, boldly and with no hesitation. He wants us to come boldly without hesitation, for he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as that veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. And since we now have a magnificent king priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced by faith that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. Wow. He says, come with an open heart, guilt-free, that nothing keeps us at a distance from him. Do you know? Amazing. He goes on to say, for our hearts have been sprinkled with the blood that Jesus shed, to remove impurities, that we have been freed from an accusing conscience. And now we are clean. Not we will be clean. If you belong to him, you are clean. Turn to your neighbor and say that. You are clean. Now, I don't mean you just took a shower last night, okay? But he's saying you are clean because of what Jesus has done. And I love this. He goes on to say, and he makes you presentable to God inside and out. Inside and out. So powerful. And here's what I want us to unpack. Verse 23 says, so now we must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. You may be familiar with another version. NIV says, yeah, it says, I'm going to find it here. Hold fast tightly. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Our God is faithful. And there's some three key things that he says in this passage. He says, come boldly. Okay, I'm going to keep you active because there's no screen. So turn to your friend, your neighbor, your wife, the one you're hoping to date that you really don't know that well, and say, maybe not, but say, come boldly. I love it. The youth do not know what to do. I don't know why that came out. Come boldly. We are welcome to the most holy place. Come with boldness, confidence, no hesitation. The second thing, so come boldly. The second thing, say come with an open heart. Tell that to your neighbor. Yes, come boldly. come with an open heart, fully convinced by faith that nothing keeps us. We are not distanced from God. We can come guilt-free, presentable to Him inside and out. And the last thing is hold tightly. Go ahead and say that. Hold tightly. Okay. So we come boldly. We come with an open heart. And we come holding tightly. And I love this word. To hold fast tightly is kateko. I really have no idea how to pronounce that. I'm looking at Patrick, who might know, but so it's cat echo. Cat means something coming down so hard, so overpowering that it influences you. That's the Holy Spirit, when something hits you so hard. An echo is actually meaning to have possession. And so here's the picture. So coming down so hard, overpowering, influencing power. Echo means to have possession. And here's the picture. Finding something after relentless searching. Finding something after relentless searching and rushing to hold on to it so tight that you're making sure it doesn't get away. Even sitting on it so it doesn't slip away. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, we have no idea the power-packed word that it is, because we didn't understand Greek. But that picture is so powerful. He's saying, when I call you to hold fast to the promises, I don't want you to just repeat them. I don't want you just to say them. But I want you to believe them so much that you know God is working in your situation, that you are holding on to that so fast, and you're not going to let go. I was talking with Gary a couple of weeks ago, and I was sharing what we were learning on Monday mornings, unpacking this verse, and we thought of a story, and especially as our guys are here back from university, I've been given permission to share this. Just going to say there's a disclaimer here. But so our daughter had gone to University of Nottingham. Brett and Nathan were about 6 and 7, and we had taken her up there and put her into her dorm room. And when we started to drive away, they were sobbing. And I was like, oh. And I was like, honey, it's okay. We're going to see her again. And they went, no, nobody loves us like Sandy. And Gary reminded, true story. And then they said, who will take care of us? You really said, they're looking at each other like, did you make that up? We really did not. And I thought, what am I? I'm mom. Anyway, so about a month later, we went up. They were missing her, and we went up and took them to Sherwood Forest. If you've ever been there, kind of exciting because of Robin Hood and his merry men, and, you know, they were excited to do that. But it was one of those bank holidays where everybody and their mother on the planet was there, because they had the soldiers and the arrows and there was too many people, even in the big woods. So it came to that point that, you know, we had lunch, and then before going walking, we were going to, you know, we needed a bathroom break. So Gary, my beloved Gary, said, I'll take the boys into the loo. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So, you know, little bit of time went by, and Nathan comes out. Now, it's probably from here to where the coffee area is. It's quite a, you know, it's not, I'm not standing right there waiting, because I figured they're getting bigger. Yeah, let them go. So here, you know, Nathan comes. He's set. He's fine. About a few minutes later, Gary comes walking out. I'm like, where's Brett? I thought he already came out. I was like, no. And then this panic rose. Any moms ever lost a kid? You might have lost a dog, and that's scary. But if you lose a kid, just this thing comes up in you. And what do you do naturally? Do you pray? I didn't. I started blaming my husband. Honey, what? You know, where's our guy? I thought he already came down. I looked around. He wasn't there. And despite protocol, guess what this mama did? What does a mama bear do? I thought, I'm not having my kid lost, and I ran into the men's bathroom. I have to admit, there were people standing there. I tried not to look, but I was like, where's my son? Where's Brett? And I'm going, and I have this vivid memory. He's 22 now, and he was 7. I was going from stall to stall to stall, going, Brett, are you in there? Brett, are you in there? The very last stall, I heard him go, sorry, babe. I'm pooing. He said, yeah, tell that story, Mom. Well, I hope you feel the word, because when he came out of that stall, I didn't care if he washed his hands. He probably should have. But I just thought, oh, my son. And I held him like, I am not going to let you go. Now, I have not thought about that picture in ages, but when I studied this verse, the Holy Spirit said, that is the tenacity that I need you to hold on to. That's it. Because when we hold on fast, we're taking it from a place of just repeating scripture, speaking it out, which is the start, but we're moving into a place of ownership and true belief. I hope you got that, because that's. Hold fast. You're still thinking that he didn't wash his hands. I love, he's studying medicine, and he said a phrase, I hope I can remember it. What you don't wash, you eat later. Okay, so youth, I hope you remember more. But if you don't wash your hands, all these viruses going on, what you don't wash, you might eat later. So just saying. So yeah, sorry. Okay, but here's where I want us to go with this. This idea of holding fast. Gary and I were talking, and there are a lot of things that could have taken us out of the race. We've had parents we've lost to cancer, to heart attacks. We've had his first wife passed away of a brain tumor. We've had alcohol in our family, alcoholism, a raging alcoholic father eventually gave his life to the Lord 2 years before he died. There was abuse in our family. I had a stepbrother that, a foster brother, that various things happened that I never, ever wanted to own. I never chose that. And those things, over the years, God has actually enabled us to be free from it. And believe it or not, those big things, it's called unshakable faith, could have knocked us out of the race. But he said, hold fast to me. Hold fast to me. And we did that. But here's the subtlety of the enemy. Sometimes it's the little things that if you don't guard your heart, as the Bible says, that little thing can become bigger and bigger and bigger and be like a ball of yarn in your stomach that can rule your mindset, that can rule your choices, rule your thinking. And he says, I want to free you from that. And just as a testimony, last year, just in this place, we talked about that, how strong, you know, we made it through the strong things, but something happened that just kind of, you know, we're family. Do you know we're family? And family is amazing, but sometimes family can hurt. But that's when the grace of God comes over and says, you know, normally people walk away from family. If they, you know, they fall out, then they just say, I'm not talking to them anymore. But in a church family, he set the bar higher. He said, I want you to love like I love you. And God is love. When he said, you'll be known by your love, do you know he looked at each one of us and he didn't say, I like this, this, and this about you, so therefore I'm going to love you. His love is only because he is love. He doesn't look and say, okay, tick, 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 I love you. So he's called us to love as he loves. So we can't look at someone and go, well, we're not really that alike and our personalities clash. So I'm going to sit on this side and you sit over there. That is not what he's called us to. He's called us to have unity because where there's unity, there's blessing. And I remember I was still reading the word. I was listening to worship. I was worshiping. I was writing in my journal. I was still leading Monday mornings. I was doing ministry. But I felt, here's how I felt. I was walking around like my arm was broken. And I was walking around like this. I was still smiling, still saying, yeah, this is, I'm fine. But I had this pain that was so intense in me. And it's because there was a little thing that I kept saying, God, can't you change the situation? He said, no, I'm using it right now. I'm greater, but you've got to trust me in this. Even if that situation doesn't change, I'm greater. Do you trust me? And so in that place of pain, I started realizing, God, I need freedom. I can't hang on to this anymore. And I'm going to try to read this. Ooh. And I remember with that tenacious faith, and I said, God, it's things like this that people get mad at the body of Christ and walk away. This is why people get hurt and get their feelings hurt, and they go find another church. And do you know what, church? He's called us to love unconditionally, we're family. Our friends, our Iranian friends came to Cafe Church. He walked around the corner. He's a Muslim, has never been in a church. And the first thing he said was, what a big family you have. And I didn't think about it till I shared that with Nikki, and I thought, I wonder why he said that. And then I realized that's how we've always described our church. It's not religion. It's not just coming and singing and feeling good, but we're family. And that was such a powerful picture. But here's what I feel like God is saying, because I remember tenaciously going, God, I'm not going to be a statistic. 72-73% of youth that are in church, when they go to university, walk away from their faith. That's crazy. So we have to ask ourselves, what is our faith based on? I cannot look at the events around my life and have it change my outlook. I can't just, yeah, he's saying my faith. Think of everything that we just looked in Hebrews. He says, that's who I am. And I don't know about you, but I think of Oliver and Sandra. It's amazing to see you. But I have no doubt when he came into heaven, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I want to go with my faith for the long haul. I don't want it to ever stop. I want to keep going. Keep going. Now, here's the key to keep going. I don't think any of us sitting here today would be like, yeah, I want to be taken out in a year. I want to be taken out in 10 years. None of us would be that foolish. But again, it's the subtlety of the enemy. And here's what I feel like he's saying that tied in with our pre-service prayer. And here's a phrase I want us to think about. Close the door. Close the door. There's a passage in Matthew that's from 12:29. It says, who would dare enter the house of a mighty man and steal his property? First, he must be overpowered and tied up by one who is stronger than he. Then his entire house can be plundered and every possession stolen. That's what the enemy will do. If we give him any part of our heart, any part, that might be through resentment, it might be through anger, it might be through unforgiveness, it might be an ungodly belief, it might be an inner vow that says, I will never be able to do this. I will always, and if it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's not from him. So he's saying, do you want to close the door on those things? I don't want the enemy. I said, I want to be free. And there was forgiveness that I just had to release and just say, God, I want your freedom. I want your freedom. And I wrote this in my journal. So it's time to close the door. Let Jesus in and let him bring freedom. So Papa, in this place of pain, I remember your truth that love covers a multitude of sins. It's a simple thing, yet you help me bring it back to the main question. Do I want freedom? Then I close the door on offense. Do I want joy? Then I close the door on comparison. Do I want healing? Then I close the door on judgment. Do I want our next generational line following passionately after him? Then I close the door on division. So I choose forgiveness that brings freedom. And Jesus calls us to walk in love and truth, holding fast to our faith. He calls us to walk in freedom, surrendering pride and rights. And Jesus calls us to victory, which comes with walking differently. It would be so easy to leave it right here and say, thank you, Father. That's a good word. But I know that if we go out these doors, we're going to go home and we're going to get busy. I'll never forget recently we walked into Costco, and with all the TVs and the big screens, this is what I heard the Holy Spirit say. Here's the enemy's plot. Here's his ploy. Keep them busy. Keep them distracted. And then I don't have to check what's in my heart. I can walk around. Someone had a picture of many people in the church that are wounded soldiers, that today he is ready to bring healing. Today, we don't want to bow a knee to anything but Jesus. We don't want to bow a knee to depression anymore. We don't want to bow a knee to unforgiveness, anger, resentment. Because our destiny, we want to accomplish what he has set for each of us. So what I'd like to do, I don't know, I think Andrea was, would you mind playing? We're going to wrap it up. But if you could just play. And if you'd stand to your feet, please. I can guarantee you right now that the enemy's putting stuff in your mind like, I hope my lunch isn't burning, or, you know, stuff to get you distracted. But every opportunity with forgiveness is an opportunity to walk free. And we looked at unshakable faith, and the way that we know our faith is unshakable, it's how free we live. If you can walk in freedom, if you can live in freedom, that's what his heart is for each of us. And it might be something subtle. Maybe there's a relationship that you constantly say, you know, I get along with everybody else. It's just them. And you've almost written that relationship off. He's saying today, I want to heal that relationship. If there's been disappointments and hurt, even that we've carried from another church, he's saying, do you know what? I want you whole. I need my army to be whole. I need my army to be healed. Because there's a battle and the enemy wants to take you out, but God is greater. Don't let him take you out. And it's simply saying yes to Jesus and closing that door to the enemy. And saying, you're not coming in my house. Arguing goes in the name of Jesus. Division goes in the name of Jesus. This peace of Christ will rule in our family. A spirit of despair is gone in the name of Jesus, because he is greater. The Lord knows your future. He has amazing plans for each one of you. Psalm 62:5 says, "Find rest, my soul, in Him alone. And in this rest, my soul comes alive in Him." Yeah. So I'd love for you, if you would, just put your hand on your heart right now. And if we could have the ministry team up, please, that would be fantastic. And any leaders, I believe that God wants to do a work today. He said, "Church, I have such a mantle for you to wear, to be influencing people for the kingdom every day. But I need you to be set free. I long for freedom to rule in your life and nothing else." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So as your hands on your heart, we just say and ask the Father, if there's forgiveness, you just say, "Father, I just forgive that person who caused the hurt. I'm not excusing what they've done, but I release them to you. And I forgive that person of the effects of how that made me feel. And I release that hurt in the name of Jesus. Release it now." And God, we refuse to let our past circumstances define our future. I thank you that you are so much greater. You use us as we are. Thank you, God. If there's any ungodly beliefs that say, "God will never take care of my needs, my finances are in a mess, your Father is trustworthy," to just give that to Him now. And just refuse to partner with an ungodly belief. God, the bank balance looks pretty scary, but I know that you are able. You will provide. Thank you, God. So we just speak over our souls in the name of Jesus. Just speak this over yourself. My acceptance is in Him. Say it with me. My acceptance is in Him. My life is in Him. I am loved. I'm cherished. And I belong to Him. So I'd like for you to actually take a bold step. If the Holy Spirit has been stirring in your heart, I want you to come down just as an accountability, just to say, "I'm stepping over that line. I'm no longer going to allow those things that are holding me back, that want to take me out of the race." Weariness, discouragement, that's not from your Father. So if there's anything that the Holy Spirit has released, would you just come now? And I hope these aisles will be packed. The Holy Spirit is saying, "I want freedom in your life. Freedom now." Are you willing to be a warrior on the front line? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And those that have stepped out, those that have, did you want to say something, Nikki? Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. Ah, okay. Yeah, that's good. So Nikki had a word, and just feels the Father saying, do not be held back by shame. I cannot tell you, going through abuse, and then the first time I ever got up to talk, the accusations that went through my mind were horrendous. But God said, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If the enemy has tried to destroy your marriage and you're still in that struggling place, grab their hand and come get some prayer. Because once something's out in the open, the enemy doesn't have hold. Thank you, God. So I'm going to invite just the ministry team. There's loads of people that have come forward. If you're a leader in any way, Cherie, come and pray, please. There's loads of people. And as you pray, just if you're on the team, just go speak and pray over someone. And as leaders, just as the body of Christ, just speak life. Speak life over each other. Dispel the lies of the enemy. Thank you, God. So there's loads of people that aren't being prayed for. So I'm going to speak life over you in the name of Jesus. And if you would just put your hand on your heart, any of you that want to go pray for someone, Thaz, Charlotte, Vicky, we're the body of Christ. Father, I thank you for those that you've given a bold spirit to. Father, I thank you that your love for us is so much greater than our sin, our shame, those things that prevent us from walking fully and experiencing your love. So I just declare the love of Christ over every person that has said yes today. And even if you're still standing there, I declare the freedom and the love of Christ. When he died on the cross, he took everything. You're guilt-free. You're shame-free. And I speak destiny over every person. And we say we're taking back the ground that the enemy has tried to rob. And there's a line. You're crossing over it. No more will the enemy be welcomed in my house, in my soul. You are greater. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Jesus is greater. Thank you. I see a picture of soldiers rising up. I see a picture that wounds are being healed. He longs to set us free. Thank you, Jesus. Our God is greater. I feel like there's someone that might be saying, I feel forgotten, God. My life isn't what I planned. But he is saying, he is your husband. He is your maker. You belong to him. Don't look to another person. Don't look to things for what he wants to give you. You belong to him. And for some of us that have stepped out in faith, I want you to know you're freeing the next generation to walk fully in Christ. Because when you break through those barriers, you break through those hurdles, you're setting the stage for Jesus to work freely in that generation behind you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for what you have done today. I thank you for that beautiful passage that says you have set the captives free. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that we long to run that race fully with endurance, perseverance, and not grow weary. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, our Father. And we seal those things that you have done today. I pray protection over every person in this room. Pray the blood of Jesus over every person. That you belong to him. You belong to him. So thank you, Father. We love you.